there are a lot of patterns in this universe and our own world that start from that they transcend above just one plane of existence. And what I mean by that is how our veins can, and the patterns that our veins make up, they resemble the pattern of the veins, hence the name, I imagine, in a plant, its leaves, and also its roots below. Very similar. And then you can go even above that. I would consider plants to be a step lower than humans. Although some people today, depending on their belief, might disagree. But I'm going to say that plants are inferior to humans. And what humans are inferior to, I would say, at the moment, is space. The cosmic level, the planets and all of that. And if you feel so inclined, look up what dark matter looks like throughout the universe. And it is very eerily similar, as well as some other, formations in the world, to how veins look, and how river pathways can branch out and open up on the planetary level. And these patterns, they go all up and down. You have the fish. Like, do fish know that they're in water, and what's water to a fish, type of that old question. And it goes then to us, where we're kind of in our little fish tank that we call an atmosphere of Earth. And then what would the next one be on the way up? Or does an atom know what plane of existence that it lives in? Kind of going off of, piggybacking off of the dark matter kind of analogy of these patterns that exist in on all levels, you have our brain and how it works and how it shoots signals. I believe it's electricity. I'm no neurobiologist by any means, as I imagine is evident by the Funko Pops and New Vegas flag behind me and all of that. But the neurons in our brain, when an action is necessary and the brain processes what it should do and comes up with a solution to fix a problem, it shoots a beam of energy directly at a spot that knows exactly what to do with it. And when, you know, a brain fires up and you see that on an MRI, again, it looks a little eerily similar to that dark matter, like web sort of thing. The, what is it, like the, would they be nebulous clouds? Or the, whatever gases of, that make up the pillar of creation and all of that. But the brain analogy is the universe also has, it seems, its own beams that it sends at things. And nothing happens to it, similar to, you know, if electricity were to pass through your brain, nothing would happen to said electricity until it reaches something that knows what to do with it. And the universe's equivalent to that would be light, and how light will just go on. Things such as light will just go on until it runs into something that can either absorb it or reflect it. And same deal as what happens in our brain with the electricity, or that when things fire in our mind. You could argue that that works throughout your body, but, you know, whatever. And then you get to another pattern that seems to manifest is planets and how they're these circular, you know, pieces of rock and molten and other, just, they're just pieces, they're building blocks. The things that they're made out of are, they're building blocks for what you would define as the universe as a whole. You have these, you know, these spheres. Spheres is the better way to put it, not circles or circular things. They're spheres that are just kind of dispersed, and they're flying around, and every once in a while they'll collide and explode and make things. Sometimes you get a bunch of them that are pulled in, that are yanked in by gravity, and it's all going around. One thing running after another in space, or running from, being repelled from it. And in the same way, it's the same way that atoms and elements and things of that molecular nature, they work as well. And then if you go a step up from that, from the molecular level, where you get the, whatever the term would be for things like elements, like with hydrogen, where you get the different atoms that, or H2O, for example, something that everybody knows, water, where you have one hydrogen and then two oxygen, different polarities, and they start circling each other and all of that. They run and they create something as a whole. Same deal as what happens with cells as well, where you get these spheres again that, you know, different versions, different pieces of it will come together and create the cell itself, and then that cell will run into other cells and be like, hey, you want to work with me? In the same way that hydrogen talks to the oxygen people, the representatives of Oxygen Academy. They're like, hey, you guys want to collaborate? And Oxygen is like, hell yeah, that's quite the deal. It's quite the deal. Let's hydrate some folks. And so these cells, they come together and do the same thing. It's like, hey, you wanna come together and, I don't know, make a liver? Like, yeah, that sounds like a pretty nifty deal to me. We'll work together on behalf of the liver universe and bring it about. And such is life, literally. And in the same way, you get to species. Different species will band together at times, and some like to be lone wolves, literally, while most of them will form a community, a herd, or a civilization like humans have. Different tribes of, on the primal or the ape front, things like that. And then the next step up would be the planets. Again, you have different orbits that are happening all over the place, and they'll collide just like those atoms. It's when Earth was created, I believe two planets came together, and they were like, hey, you wanna work together and kind of do like a Dragon Ball fusion dance or some shit, touch fingertips and explode in this giant mess to create something called Earth, where some guy will sit on his couch drinking an energy drink and do whatever and just talk into a microphone for people to hear, if they so choose to stick around. And the other planet was like, yeah, that sounds like quite the deal to me. Let's do it, bro. And you get one planet that's like, aah! The other one's like, boom! They fucking blow up to a giant fiery explosion. And a bunch of comets happen and they all just crash into each other. It's a big freaking bang, if you will. And those rocks, they'll all come together. These different rocks will come together and start circulating to make something even bigger as a whole, called a galaxy. A solar system. And then even bigger than that is, as a whole, of all of those things coming together in the way that all these little cells all work together and band together, or atoms, they all come together to band together to make everything. The universe. And that's the biggest level. And this next one, is parallel, as indicated by the title of this video somehow. I haven't come up with it yet, but the next step, the next pattern that I have just kind of realized, it stems from, I hope I pronounce his name right, because he's fucking brilliant, but that evolutionary biologist, all his politics aside, take it, put it in a box to the left, baby, and don't, whatever. He's a brilliant guy when it comes to evolutionary biology. I don't want any part of the politics. But it's Brett Weinstein, I believe. It's not Weinstein, that's the guy that did some naughty, naughty things in Hollywood. Brett Weinstein. And I just, you know, just a quick aside, a silly aside with him was, I was listening to him, and he said early on in the interview that the best teachers know that 90% of the fight when it comes to teaching is getting the student excited to learn. And I was like, this guy, he's... Get him out of here. Get him out of here. It's easier said than done. And after just listening for about an hour, without even thinking, I just start laughing. Because I'm on my phone, Googling biology stuff. Such as where the first cell came from. And the origin of life. And I realized that he got me. He got me. So... I don't know, just kudos to him, and that's a brilliant, brilliant mind. It's just proof that passion is, what's the word? Contagious. It's contagious. Because just by, I mean, his sheer excitement for the topic of evolution and biology, he got me excited and got me curious. But the pattern that stemmed from listening to him and various others in that field, and also some of these creationist yeehaws, which I personally think that both are kind of right, but neither here nor there at the moment, I started thinking about the Big Bang. And just how it, too, has a reflection on a smaller scale. And that would be the creation of life itself and the entire, you know, existence as we know it, the timeline of life on this planet. Its big sibling is the Big Bang. So what do I mean by that? we'll start with the Big Bang, in that, you know, just a for anybody who may not be familiar with what exactly the Big Bang was, and not the one with a bunch of dorks saying Bazinga and all that bullshit, which doesn't hold up if you take out the laugh tracks, but it's fine. It's fine! But the Big Bang is just essentially the creation of the universe. What we think happened, what the miracle that we like to think happened, using our tiny little brains to project backwards billions and billions and billions and billions and billions times 27, or whatever the common number is now, is that in the beginning there was nothing. And then God said, "Let there be light." And what happened then was the entire universe was filled with, I mean, there was nothing there. But the conditions became just perfect enough. And there was just enough energy for something to spark. And like lighting a match in a room with a gas leak, it went POOM! And from one center point, allegedly, everything we know it exploded outward and expanded. From nothing, there was a pop, there was a burst, and then it just went out. And just has been going out forever. And initially there was, I mean, chaos. It was explosions and things running into each other and things being formed and then crashing into other things that had formed. And there was a level of competition almost of what was going to stick around and what was going to be melded into various other things. What was going to stay as dust, if that dust would ever come together. If that dust would ever encircle a sphere of rock and create an atmosphere. And such things like that, like stars and black holes and everything that you can possibly imagine. A monolith where monkeys will see it and try to poke it and then create a stone tool. And all of that made out of bones, and they eventually go to Jupiter, and then Hell 9000 doesn't want to open the pod bay doors, and it's a whole thing, and then they have to unplug him and he's begging for his life and all that. You know how it goes. The story of humanity and the universe and all things. So that's the Big Bang. And before I get into how that parallels life, which you may be already getting ahead of me, I'm sure, I would like to say hello, everyone. My name is Anakin Meeker, and this is the Madhouse. So that's who I am. Nice to meet ya. But if we go into how life began exactly, it's very similar. Very similar. Because you take the cell, that first cell that it's said to have formed. Oh boy. Is it 1.4 billion? I don't remember. I have two numbers in my head, and it's 4.5 and 1.4 billion. I don't remember which one's... Oh, man. I want to say it's 1.4 billion, because I think 4.5 billion is when the Earth was made. But again, it's like... What are we at? Can we be honest? What do we actually know? What the hell... The Earth's history, if you ever go through it, or just Google it or whatever, we just throw out chunks. We're just like, I don't know, from like, either 50 million to 100, maybe 500 million years straight, it got hit by asteroids. And we don't know. So it's kind of like that. So, I don't know, between 30 billion years ago... And now, life showed up here, okay? And no, it there were it was underwater, and the earth was doing its thing. It was a barren wasteland. It had some water on it, thanks to a bunch of meteors. And it just so happened that, well, we don't know. We don't know how cells were made first, flat out. There's guesses, but we do not know, which was a little bit surprising. I figured we would know that, with where we're at the moment in this year that I'm recording this, and I don't want to date the episode, so don't check, don't look. This is the year now. The year right now. Present. The present era. No, but there were sea vents that were spewing, I'd imagine hot water, maybe lava, from where the crust was cracked and sea vents formed, and heat was being, hot water was being shot out. It was warming the water in the area, and it created the perfect conditions with, I believe, hydrogen. And our guess, I'm not even kidding, our best guess at the moment is that the cell just appeared. The first cell appeared. It just came to be. It just which already sounds a little bit like the Big Bang to me. But when you get into what exactly that cell is, a bunch of things came together. You get the age old. You have cell. You have the first cell, and then the mitochondria comes along, who's its own little cell, and it's like, hey, what if we work together? That thing that I already, kind of alluded to, the mitochondria comes along, it's like, hey, what if we came together? And you need ATP? I got it. I need a place to live because these various other microorganisms and bacteria, they want my head and they want my ATP. And you got a nice membrane there, sir. You beautiful sphere of you, sir, cell. And I would like to live within your walls, so to speak. Get your mind out of the gutter, you freak. And then they merged. Or maybe the mitochondria got eaten despite being on the run, and it just kind of got absorbed. Well, same deal. But if you look into that cell that just kind of magically appeared in a flash of life at that sea vent there, you get different things, tiny things floating around in space, in free space, the cytoplasm of the cell, and it's going around, things are going in and out of the membrane and all of that, if it's permeable. And it just has another parallel to the universe as we know it, where we have these tiny things kind of floating around and existing and crashing into one another and coming together to build a little bit more complex things. And it's there on the microbiological level. With that very first cell. And if you take the entire timeline, which would then be that very first cell just appearing in the bang of life, the big bang of life on this planet, you get the multicellular, like two cells. Three cells, multi-cells, start coming together to make slightly more complex things. Start working together and banding together and melding. And then you move on to actual you know, things like organs and very basic life forms that are just like one organ. They're just gonna do one thing, and then even those organs sprout their own organs and appendages and all of this, and eyes, and you know, eventually you get the multicellular organisms as a whole. And then those organisms start exploding out from that one point and going and crashing into one another, and there's chaos and everything's all over the damn place, and giant lizards show up that definitely aren't dragons, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm not gonna I don't know. It's fun. It's just fun to think about. For me, it's like, never mind. I'm trying to be credible today. I don't want to plead the case that dragons are definitely real and they're called dinosaurs, but whatever. I'm not going to do that today. I already did that in a previous episode. No, I'm being silly. But these, if you take that period of just pure and utter chaos where everything's just crashing and crashing and you're trying to, I mean, there's the competition. There's all the competition, and evolution is trying to find a way to get the homeostasis, it seems. Or maybe it's the earth, or maybe it's God, and however you want to dispense it. But it's trying to find, there's a hierarchy of competition, and thankfully, because I'm human, unfortunately for my buddy Ruggles over there, who's my dog, tiny little terrier, he didn't win. But he got a close second, I would say. He's doesn't have to worry about dying 24/7. Unless he shits in the house. But eventually order is found, and the apex creature wins out, and you know, kind of homeostasis is found. But the point I'm making with that timeline is if you were to take it and just speed it up rapidly, it would look a hell of a lot like what the Big Bang would look like if you took that and sped it up. Where it's just out of nowhere, there's just an explosion of life. You have an explosion, and then things just go everywhere all over this earth, and they're crashing into each other and eating each other, and things come to be and then disappear, and then other things exist and disappear as well. And I mean, yeah, there you get all these different levels of creation almost that is here. So then that begs the question, at least to me, are cells to us what planets are to the universe, the cosmos as a whole, this entire reality? The same line of thinking of, you know, the veins that go from, you know, the veins that go from our body, or from plants to our body, to the water patterns that exist on the entire planet, and then those dark matter patterns that exist and flow in the universe. And could those cells that we call planets, where we are kind of like the organelles, I think, the organs of the cell, like the mitochondria and the ribosomes and all of that. Are those the same as, are those, you see what I'm trying to say? Are the planets the cell that would be the event that would eventually be destined to become the multicellular things of the universe. And what I mean is, can, I guess, what are we, what are we in that relation? Let's explore that a little bit. Would we be able to potentially influence that, so to speak, by going to another planet? And in going to another planet, would we almost kind of be the pulling force between the two cells, the polarity, in the way that those two oxygen came and said, "Work for me, hydrogen," and they absorbed to become water? Are we that same? Are we the polarity? And we start, and various other things, in this cosmic competition for life. If we started becoming, you know, multiplanetary, which it seems like that is the immediate, this is going to be an oxymoron, but the immediate long-term goal of the species. Because my personal belief, after really thinking about it, the why are we here and why even live and anything, I believe is we're in a universe of infinite questions, and we are curious creatures, and that's just a beautiful dynamic. And so our purpose will not be fulfilled, and we'll constantly have that question of why are we here and what are we doing, and have that pull to continue on and keep living and advance. And like, that's the goal, is to realize and answer every question that is possible in this universe. And we are very tiny, and so that's why I say we haven't even opened the book. We just bought the book, and we're like realizing that we have a book, and we're like, it's almost like we're learning to read. And the end of the book is knowing everything. And we're all the way back in like kindergarten, first grade, learning how to read. We're memorizing right now here on Earth in the vast, the vast, what we call infinity. We are just now doing the phonics dance. We are just now learning to memorize upper and lowercase letters. We're just learning the alphabet right now. And so we got a long way to go, so we better not blow ourselves up or any of that shit. Let's stop bullshitting. We got work to do. But once we conquer the multiplanetary thing, if we can even get there, that makes sense to me, that we would become, in that sense, we would be the polarity of the cells, the thing that pulls them together, these planetary cells, these and eventually start making the multicellular organism on the cosmic scale. Start competing in the competition. The cosmic competition. In the same way that there was complete and utter chaos when life first began. And then eventually, evolution found and weaved its way down the path to figure out what we are. And I'm going to steal something from Brett Weinstein again, where he had a very interesting and trippy point, saying that we're not the only animal with all the pieces needed. And he threw out things like squids and dolphins, where it's like, they creep me out. And I feel like we should take those species, those insanely, like, almost seemingly sentient. I would argue that dogs, even. Because there's, like, weirdness. It's like they almost got all the pieces. But for some reason, we had that thing. Like, they're almost there. And that's... And, I mean, I couldn't put it any more brilliant than that. And I would hope that he would be able to put it better than than I could, because he went to school for all of that. And that's his life's work, and... Yeah, whatever. Gotta stay focused here. But he... Yeah, it's like they have all the pieces. They were close, and they creep me out, because it's like... Who's to say that they're done evolving? And that they could... Kind of like right after World War II, America, the United States was just up. And now, after almost 100 years, the gap is closed. Same deal. It's like, can that evolutionary gap close? And are we just like... As soon as the door opens for that path, could something like dolphins, you know, start? Who's to say that the race is over, is what I'm saying. Evolutionary. That's a scary, fun thought to keep you up at night. Sometimes it... Well, not really. It doesn't really for me, but I do think about it, and it is worrisome. I get angst. But translate that upward, same as what we have been doing this episode. Is there a evolutionary competition in space, so to speak? And are we part of that in the way that a tiny little cell is a part of, I mean, a part of our evolutionary race? Or that the cell had its own evolutionary race to figure out which cell was going to be the, I mean, second Dragon Ball reference of the episode, the perfect cell. I'm a nerd, I know. But it's like, and so this is where we can, it's time to just have some fun, and let's just explore some wackiness now, and let's take that leap, having laid all of that fun groundwork, and let's run with it. Let's run that race, that competitive race, and see where this goes, because then you could get into, is that the next step? And we are right now where we're at with this cosmic competition, this evolutionary competition, the Big Bang of life, are we the tiny cell and Earth is that first one? Or, and we're like on square one, and this is the Big Bang up until where we are now is kind of like that waiting period where we have the 4.5 billion years ago the Earth was made, and then after 3.5 billion years or so, 3 billion years or so, if I got my numbers right, and I'm just basing it off of the 4.5 billion years ago and the 1.4 thing. The two numbers, I'm pulling numbers out of my ass that sound correct, and I think they're right. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not using notes when it comes to numbers. I just have some notes over here to try and keep me on track, because I know that I can have my own big bang of thoughts along with this just scattered everywhere, and I need some order to my chaos. The Big Bang until the Big Bang of life is akin to the waiting period between the creation of the Earth and then life itself, that same deal and where we're at now. And so it's like, are we at the starting block? Or like, we just took like one step, like we are that original cell on Earth and we're very early in the timeline. And what I want to do now is expand that entire timeline, starting with the Big Bang and fully running all the way down as far as we can possibly see with our mind's eye, where this ends, if there is actually is it cosmological? Would that be the correct term? There's a evolutionary competition on the planetary scale, in the same way that it happened on Earth. So let's run with that for a second, where we have the Earth, and we're just going to assume, for the sake of thought, that the Earth, we're going to just go with what we have right now in the present, in this year, the year right now, so as not to date this, even though this statement might, depending on what the fuck happens going forward, we're going to just assume that the Earth is the only one. In the same way that we just kind of assume that the Big Bang was the only one, even though I know that there's the realm of possibility that the Big Bang was not the only Big Bang, and it's just the Big Bang here. And that you could have multiple Big Bangs, like there's a Big Bang and then other Big Bangs happening all over in that void, that sea of noon, as, you know, the ancient Egyptians called it, or the waters, the primordial waters, and is that how they're described in Genesis? Whatever, you get it. The void that sparked life and everything. You could have multiple Big Bangs showing up, but maybe ours was the first. And we'll just say that the Earth is the same way, where we have the first, and Earth is ground zero for this multicellular life, and we're the very first cell that just kind of appeared when all the gases and waters of the Earth met the correct condition, when light was shown in and energy was given to it and life began with the cell. And so you have these multicellular things that would kind of be the communities of humans that show up, and then you get bigger communities and maybe another community eventually comes in, and you get the alien wars and all of that. And just like here on Earth, and just like in the way that bears and humans basically went to war. We're big cats. Like, we had a war for the chain of command, so to speak, the becoming the apex predator. You could have a war of the worlds, I suppose, where you have one civilization, multi-planetary civilization, and then another. Maybe you have, I mean, the humans versus the aliens, I guess, and this alien. And you get, you know, pick a conqueror, Julius Caesar, with Rome, where it would conquer things and then just kind of envelop it into the kingdom. Or you get Genghis Khan, who, same deal, it's like join or die. And if anybody, I mean, they would just kind of get enveloped into the kingdom. Alexander the Great, is it Macedonia or Macedonia? I don't recall. Or I don't know. I just call it Macedonia. But they, same deal. He's like, I'm going to take over the world. And he pretty much took over the known world. And everything was just entered into the kingdom. And same deal. It's like you get these multi-planetary species that go to war, in this case. And hopefully we win out. That would be a lot cooler. Or maybe it's an enlightenment thing and we come to an agreement and we all just kind of intermingle. It's a peaceful thing. And we're entered into the kingdom. In the same way that that mitochondria was entered into the cellular kingdom. Because it benefited it. And same deal, and so on. And it just continues to expand and expand until, without their knowing it, or our knowing it, we eventually create some kind of, in the same way that a cell or a bacteria or an amoeba cannot even comprehend the fact that it's, take our gut biome, for example, the bacteria in there, imagine being a bacteria and trying to understand why, what its purpose is. It just kind of does its purpose. It knows that it has a purpose, but it doesn't. It's unimaginable that it is making up a human organism. And in the same way, we could become the thing on the cosmic scale where we are that little tiny amoeba, and by continually expanding and growing and taking one planet, aka a cell, and making it multicellular, and then eventually becoming something we can't even comprehend at the cosmic scale, and that's a living being that is able to affect worlds and live and move and all of that. Maybe we already are. We don't know. And then you take it on that level, and this giant, for visual, actually the a visual that helps me is there's a Marvel character that is the universe itself, and Google that if you're not working or anything, listening to this or driving. Google that if you can, and that's kind of how I semi-imagine it. Obviously, we're talking about the real world, well, the universe, so it would not look the same, but, I mean, kind of like that, where it's just this, to us, it's this being that is infinity, and is incomprehensible from our point of view, but if you pull back the camera far enough, you'll see the thing as a whole moving. Kind of like how we can pull back the camera as a whole in World War II, for example, and see how the living Germany and the living Russia and all these different, like France, and, well, we know what happened to France, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you can see the moving collective as a whole going, and all of a sudden Hiroshima happens, and boom! You know, awesome, USA. It's not, whatever. It's awesome. It was cool. We did a bomb and killed a lot of people. It's terrible. Neither here nor there. I've dug myself a hole. But, getting back on track, this multicellular, now organism, on the cosmic scale, who's to say that, in this case, if we just follow the pattern continually up, it's like, would that have a competition? And, I mean, it would make sense that maybe it would. And then what would competition look like on that level? Where you now have the next level. Again, same deal where you listening to this are the bacteria in the gut of a human. That is required, and that is required to exist for the body, the human body as a whole. The people make up the whole of this cosmic being, and then something that big on the universal level, in the universe and on these planets and in our universe, maybe they go to competition eventually. And it becomes a competition in the same way that it was here on Earth, where one of them will win out eventually. And that's kind of the order of things, is to kind of push all of this, push even that, where we were pushed by evolution to become the top dog and or top human, top primate. Top creature. Maybe that's the goal of those, is for evolution to, even on that level, to go and push those via scarcity of whatever resources are required to sustain a cosmic being. Multiplanetary, multicellular cosmic being, whatever you want to call it. And they go... I mean, they go to battle, they go to competition, and there's all this chaos, and there's this explosion of life on that level. And even they will be looking back at some point on their couch, their cosmic couch, thinking, I wonder where the very first planet came from, because planets to them are cells. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait, it just appeared? What do you mean it just appeared? And then they go down the rabbit hole. Or the space bunny rabbit hole. Like I did. And so you take that. But even that is contained on the universal level. And this is where it gets really, really fun. Because then you can go even a step further down the line. Even bigger. And that they too, in the same way that we engulf the planet and then take that next step into the multiplanetary, maybe the winner of that cosmic evolutionary competition, as their prize, gets to take the next step into the universal level. And so we get our universe and the one that we're contained in, that at this point we can't even imagine. You have our reality, and there's something encompassing even that works through everything to create order and This is where it gets spiritual and all of that. It's those fundamental, for some reason, there is clear good, undefined by us. There's order. There's good. The word that we use is good, but there's order. There's a thing. There are rules and pushers and outside forces that kind of guide existence, the world. And same deal with these, where it's these things are getting pushed, these cosmic beings. I'm getting off the beaten path here. I gotta get focused. But it's like it goes on. We have our reality, and then there's something above. Not above. Above's not the right word. There's something else. There's something a little bit more that can move past. And that's what these things go to, is that world, so to speak, that level of existence that I can only imagine, because I am, you know, just a tiny little monkey with a brain. I can only see it as white at the moment. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's possible, because I'm bound to this existence. There's something more, clearly. And then there's those things on that level, the universe itself, in the same way that we have the cell, we have the atom, and then the cell, and then the planet that we all live on, and then the universe is its own sphere of existence. It's kind of like those Russian dolls that you just put one in. This is how I kind of imagine it. Is you have the Russian dolls, where you have the tiniest one, and then there's one that you can close around it, and then another one that you can put in it, and then another one that's even bigger, and that's kind of like where it's just engulfed. The next phase of existence is engulfing this one. Almost. Because then you get into, like, whatever, yeah. I gotta leave that one alone. I gotta think about that more, I suppose. But yeah, these cosmic beings that were moving, the one that wins out the evolution at the universal level gets to go on, and in the same way that we went from the planet to another planet and moved from our level of being to multiplanetary and eventually gone on to become this multiplanetary cosmic being. Even that thing gets to go on to whatever the hell the next level is. Next level out is. Out is, I like out better. That makes more sense. Because, again, it's like the fish emerging from the water to the atmosphere. It's like, and then our version of water is the, is space. And then outside of space is the next level of whatever the hell that is. And that's where those things get to travel to once they've won out on our universe's level. And then there's this whole other level of competition that they begin, and they have their own big bang of life, and it goes even more so higher and higher and outer and out more and out. Just, who knows, presumably forever, presumably not. Maybe that's the final destination, and that's, I don't know. And I guess what I'm saying is that in the same way that we had life here, the competition of life for that apex predator, then you get to a competition of life and finding the apex predator on the universal scale, where there's multiple different universes that exist all over, and one of them becomes multi-universal. I don't want to say multi-dimensional, because I fucking hate what simulation theory and, you know, things like, you know, the multiverse with Marvel, to go back to Marvel's, things like that, like what that does, where you just open a portal and you get multidimensional. Because I don't feel like it's that. I think it's different. I think it's more like the way that a vape, like smoke, can pass through cloth, I feel is more accurate than Doctor Who, or not Doctor Who. Doctor Who, yes. Doctor Who works too. I don't feel... It's not a door. I can say that definitively. It's not a fucking door. I don't think you just open a door and all of a sudden, hey, you're with Jesus. It's more... That things can pass in and move out and waft in. It's like a... it's like a smell coming in. It's a gas... It's more gaseous and, like, I mean, water, which is life, how that can change forms. And there's no real line between water becoming a vapor. There's no real line between vapor and, I mean, vapor and water and ice and, you know, vapor and... that entire cycle. It's like, you tell me where the line is. You can't, because it's just water. It's the same deal. And so they pass on to the multi-universal scale, like the next outer shell, I guess, of this Russian doll that we call existence. And then even they have their own competition. And so on. And so on. And that makes me wonder, is there a ultimate winner, an ultimate striver, or is this just expanding multidimensionally, like where you go ever onward and ever out and just ever up, ever expanding, forever. I just spit everywhere, because I just am so enthralled by this idea that I'm just... spitting all over the place. I suppose that would somewhat answer the God question. The God's question, the whatever question, and help explain out just what is happening with God and religion. In the spiritual aspect. It's like, what's going on there? Is there a higher order? Is that... does it go on forever? And that's why God... whichever, you know. Again, it's not... this is not a Catholic preaching. I'm not a priest. I'm not... saying that this is. We're just following the thought. We're having fun with the thought experiment now. Don't forget that before you get all up in a tizzy. Start thumping your Bibles and Qurans and all of that. And your Torahs. And the atheists come out and crucify me. We're just having fun, remember. But in this case, in this fun little hypothetical, it's like, what if that's what God is doing? What people call God is that it is kind of like how you are able to... I mean, it's kind of like how you want your own body to be in good health. Or maybe not. or maybe God. The conclusion, because that one didn't satisfy me, is that this multi-level, like the next step up, whatever that next multicellular or multiplanetary thing, the higher up that is trying to win and ever onward, you have all these spheres and I suppose timelines and branches of what could be the top dog at the very top level of the universal evolutionary competition, multi-universal or whatever's beyond the universe, and even that, and so on and so on. All of that, there is something else that is and makes up and wants the best for that entire package that we just created, because it is that thing and it is all things, from the biggest you can possibly imagine, whichever level that was during this episode, all the way down to that tiniest atom. And it's the forces that move through us, and it's the order to all of this chaos. It just makes me wonder if maybe that's the why. Could that be the why? And I don't know. Could that be the why? Is that it just wants everything on all levels of... It wants everything on all levels of this giant what would that even be? Level? Multi... I don't know. These different levels of existence that we all have and act on. Is there a force outside of it, I suppose? I'm asking the question, is there a force outside of it that wants all of them to flourish? Maybe. But I don't know. And I don't know anything for damn sure. I don't know a goddamn thing. But what I do know is that I think I've exhausted a lot of possibilities here, and maybe I've exhausted your mind, and I've certainly exhausted my own. But yeah, just to close, maybe that's what's going on with this hypothetical, is it just wants the... It's looking for, in the same way that evolution, again, to steal Brett Weinstein's idea, where he said that it seemed like evolution is almost... It's almost as if evolution was looking for... it was looking for the best possible outcome and he drew the parallel to God. It's almost as if like God moved through evolution to find the best possible outcome, and it was lucky that it was us. Does that translate on all levels where the best possible outcome was found for the atom in the first place? It's like, okay, let's make light now. Boom! And the entire... everything was made of atoms, or whatever the next smallest particle is. Like, I don't know. And then you go up to the cell. It's like, what is the best possible outcome here, is what the creator, God, whoever you... insert name here in this, what is the best possible outcome there? Cells seem pretty good. Boom, we're gonna do it that way. And then a cell shows up, and then what is the best possible outcome for life and becoming the next step, and who's the best possible one? And it looks like humans, and the same deal, and so on up. It's like, what's the best possible outcome here, maybe it's this multi, maybe it's a planet. So boom, we have planets, and then multiplanetary, and what's the best possible outcome for whatever multiplanetary things and life forms become? And it's boom, it's that, and then what's the best possible outcome for a multi-universal being, and boom, it's that, and then what's the best possible outcome for even so on and so on and up and outer of the rings or the spheres of existence. And that's kind of like what, that's the why, and it's on all levels that everything has to do its due diligence. It has to do good. It has to pursue excellence and go for broke, because everything else is competing. So it's like, which one wants to win out? Our job is never done. And so on and so on. And that does that. It does that on all levels. So we better get to it, I guess. But, yeah. Just wonder, is that... I don't know. But yeah, I think that's... There's no real conclusion here, I guess. So, I don't know. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. If you enjoyed that, please share it with a friend. This podcast is not going to grow without you. So, if you would like more of these, you can do your part, because the production will only increase as it grows. So, yeah, just help me out. Share it if you enjoyed that. It's nothing to you. It's just one link, and maybe somebody will send you a couple laughing emojis saying, "What the fuck is this?" And you never talk about it again. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. But it means everything to me. So, just as it did that you listened to it. So thank you for that. Again, my name is Anakin Meeker. And I'm shooting for every Monday with these episodes. So the plan is to see you next Monday. So thank you for watching. I'll see you in the next episode. And goodbye.